Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, folks, we're going to jump into the show here in just a second. But first, if you're only listening to the free portion of the Bob Seska Show on Apple Podcasts.
Wait. This is taking far too long. Ben Shapiro from the Ben Shapiro Podcast. I'm blitzed on stimulants right now, so I can tell you, as quickly as possible, literally at the speed of sound itself, to not support Bob Seska's Patreon page at BobSeskaShow.com, vis-a-vis Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. He talks too slowly, and so do his co-hosts. And everyone knows, the faster someone talks, the smarter he sounds. So seriously, don't sign up for Bob's Patreon. Thank you. I'll be over here waiting for puberty. Come on, puberty.
Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com. Bookmark it and send it to all your friends, and we thank you in advance. And now, let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Holy underwear.
The Bob Seska Show.
Oh, I better start the fucking show. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, August 19, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, my name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, day 212 of the Biden-Harris administration, 446 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. And here come the goth ninjas. It is Jody Hamilton from the From the Bunker podcast, from-the-bunker.com, also patreon.com/from the bunker, and of course, the Stephanie Miller Show. And with it, the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network at sexyliberal.com. It's your podcasting superstation. And David T-Rex Ferguson, along with his purring cat, which I can't hear right now, but I could hear it before. And of course, David
is calming down.
David's from Astral Summer, astralsummer.bandcamp.com. That's a music project. Go and download lots of great music for your summertime. Okay, where do we begin today? We're starting late. I apologize. We're starting late today. We're getting
it's
late.
It's my fault.
Yeah, it's all Jody's fault. We're just blaming everything on Jody today. Jody and David's cat.
Right.
You know, it's better that she's sitting here making biscuits in the sock drawer.
Yeah.
Then standing at the door screaming, I promise.
That's true. Okay. But the scream was weirdly, when I heard the scream before the show, it was weirdly human. It was like, yeah. Oh my God, is there a child trying to break out of your house or something? Like, what's going on there, David? Meantime.
Yeah, I didn't get the oven door tight enough.
Kimberly's at the doctor as we speak. Those of you who've been following her Facebook page know that she's got this weird phantom odor in her nose where she's either constantly smelling smoke or constantly smelling cocaine. I swear to God, I'm not making that up. Those are the two odors that are constantly happening in her nose. It's either one or the other. So now
it's
she's
interesting
at-
that she knows the cocaine smell because I've only done cocaine the one time.
Cocaine.
And the cocaine. I've only done that the one time. And I do not recall the smell. I recall the taste.
Once. Yeah.
It didn't work for me because I had done ecstasy before, and I'm like, well, ecstasy is way better than this shit.
Yeah, and I have never done cocaine, and even if I had done cocaine, I don't have a sense of smell, so I couldn't smell
it. So it wouldn't matter because you're Dewey Cox.
That's exactly right.
You really need to see that movie.
I should. Hey, well, you know
what? This said he had never been addicted to cocaine. He just really liked the smell of it.
Well, you know what I found out the other day? This made me feel a little better about my nose blindness. I discovered that TV's Jason Sudeikis, star of Ted Lasso and Saturday Night Live, also was born without a sense of smell. And there was a whole piece about her written back when he was doing that horrible Bosses movie. And I was like, oh, my God, that's so fucking cool. I've never encountered anyone else in pop culture or in my personal life that also didn't have a sense of smell. I mean, other than people who have had COVID and temporarily lost their sense of smell. But
it's
dangerous.
It's a dangerous affliction. People, I mean, in Dewey Cox, they make fun of it, but it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm. It is dangerous. And that's why
we know not to eat certain things.
Yeah.
And a gas leak.
Right. Well, initially, that's what I was concerned about with Kimberly. I thought, what is she actually smelling something that's perpetual in the house, like carbon monoxide or some sort of gas leak or something else going on that I'm not aware of? I'm not able to detect anything, any odor ever. So I have no idea, but I think she was able to confirm just by experimentation, going outside, seeing if she could smell it, sitting in her car, seeing if she could smell it.
Right.
And it's no matter where she is or what she's doing, that odor, and it's got to be driving her crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, she is just miserable with this. And the closest thing I can compare it to is if I had like a permanent taste in my mouth. You know, after you eat something that you probably shouldn't have eaten, like a bag of Cheetos or so, just something terrible. It's loaded with chemicals and preservatives, and you get that gross taste in your mouth. Now imagine that taste all the time, no matter what you do. Mm. And that's kind of how I'm relating to what she's experiencing right now. So hopefully at the ear, nose, and throat doctor.
I've had this before.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Like
a phantom odor?
A long time ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Like my ex split up with me, and then like a couple of days later, I was in a coffee shop where some milk had spilled somewhere out of reach or something, and the smell of sour milk was really intense.
Oh, my God.
And my brain just glommed onto that, and then everything that I smelled for like a month, 2 months, it smelled like sour milk, like everywhere I went. And I
so that sounds like it was stress related, maybe
it was
because
very much stress related.
Yeah, so maybe because Kimberly's parents are going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's also like kind of poetic because it's like the relationship went sour, and my brain was like acting as a it was like making me a metaphor that I didn't necessarily want, and like I can totally see how like the smell of smoke is like something's on fire, it means something's wrong, out of sight that I can't see. So I'd lay $10 that her doctor says stress and prescribes her something like Xanax or something.
One of the things is I'm relieved that she's actually seeing an ear, nose, and throat specialist today, because otherwise she just sits on her laptop and looks up her symptoms on the internet, which is always, oh my God, always a huge...
Oh, don't do that.
Yeah, always
a big mistake.
It's always a brain tumor and you're always about to die. Yeah.
So... she's thinking Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, you know, some sort of weird brain tumor. I mean, those are the worst case scenarios that you're getting on the internet. And that's obviously amplifying her stress level. So seeing an expert today, I think, will go a long way to, at the very least, reducing her degree of stress, knowing whatever it is that's causing it. And, you know, those of you who follow her on Facebook know that she also has a polyp up in her sinuses. All up in there. Yeah. So she was treating that with, I think, Flonase. I think they prescribed Flonase for you to take.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah. Something
that also can produce phantom smells.
I think so. Yeah.
And a friend of mine lost his sense of smell and taste, actually sense of taste more than smell, when he kept using that stuff, because it fucks with the hair and everything that's in that area of your body. It's terrible.
Yeah. It's basically like she's grinding it down using Flonase. That's what I gather from that treatment. That the ongoing use of Flonase just grinds that polyp down to nothing.
Flonase is a steroid, and it just basically reduces inflammation. It's not doing anything to the polyp except making it get worse. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, keeping it from getting worse is what I'm trying to say.
So lots of fun things today. Yes, indeed. It's another one of these days. Yep. There's a guy threatening to blow up 3 city blocks in Washington, D.C. right now.
It's a hostage situation in a weird sense.
Yeah, he claims
Travis talked about it this morning. So.
I mean, he doesn't have hostages. The area has been evacuated. He claims to have, I think it's ammonium nitrate in a toolbox. Wow. He's posted some videos. There was one video, Josh Marshall from Talking Points Memo reported that in one Facebook video, the Capitol bomb threat suspect repeatedly invokes Trump and the fall of Kabul. He attacks Biden and Pelosi, says Trump will become president again after Biden is driven from office, says Trump will then pardon everyone. He's a white man. I'm not going to mention the guy's name or specifically where he's from. He's just a white guy from North Carolina who's talking about the revolution and how he's not afraid to die. That was the video. And everything okay there, David? Suddenly like... Just wondering if the,
I'm sorry, I was just wondering
if your cat was going nuts or something like that. Yeah.
No, I leaned again. My dresser top is my studio, basically. I have a tiny little baffle, and I just kind of leaned against it in exasperation.
Oh, so you've got like just a standing desk. It's very Rumsfeld of you that you're,
I'm always standing because when I was sitting before, my feet would go to sleep and stuff, and I just, this was better.
Yeah, I know. I know that feeling. Well, so I think they've evacuated a bunch of those buildings near the Library of Congress. I don't know why this guy chose the Library of Congress, by the way. I think maybe he thought it was the actual Capitol building, like Congress is actually there. I don't know. But
yeah, he's definitely, it doesn't even look right, but...
To be fair, DC streets are very confusing.
They are confusing. That's also that. But no, I think I said this morning to Travis, I said, why do people call in bomb threats? Just bomb it.
Yeah. Well, thank God he didn't. You know what I mean?
Thank God he did. I've never understood because we were like, well, maybe it's just a suspicious truck. But then obviously he's like, no, I have a bomb.
Yeah.
Which means you need to blow me up.
Right, right. Well, usually in these cases, don't you think they have like some sort of ulterior motive? Like they have a message that they want to get out. So this guy's been live streaming
Manifesto,
it.
Yeah.
At one point, I think he threw a bunch of cash out the window of his black pickup truck. He's got a black pickup truck, which is stationed on the street outside. It's sort of between, those of you who've been to the Library of Congress know the one entrance where there are the stairs and then a little street. I want to say it's Constitution Avenue. I'm not entirely sure on that. But then there's the National Mall on the other side of the street. So that's where the black pickup truck is parked, from what I gather. And at one point, he appeared to be throwing money out the window for some reason, which is just an odd move. He's young.
He's only 49.
What is going on?
David. She's grooming herself. I'm going to have to move her to a different drawer.
Thank you.
She's licking her butt now.
He's 49 years old and yum. He's 49 and from Grover, North Carolina.
Okay, gotcha. You know what this is? This is on Ron Watkins and Jim Watkins. They made this.
Come on, baby.
Ron Watkins is Q. And very obviously Q. The Q Into the Storm documentary pretty much determined that Ron Watkins in the Philippines, along with his dad, they're both pranksters. They're online pranksters. And they portray themselves as being this character Q. And now this whole fucking movement has emerged out of this 8chan prank.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then Donald Trump has co-opted it. Donald Trump has co-opted and amplified it and radicalized people like this guy from North Carolina who's threatening to blow up a bunch of buildings in Washington, D.C. for the revolution. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. I think a bunch of people are now scouring. His Facebook page, by the way, has been taken down, but people still have access to it. It's exactly what you would imagine this guy's Facebook page to look like. You know, his likes and so on, his posts, it all leads in the same direction. And that is the storm is coming and he thinks he's going to be part of the storm. So who knows whether he actually has explosives in his truck or what he's planning to do with those explosives. You know, this is just another case where an online prank, what amounts to it, like these guys are jackass, Ron and Jim Watkins. Mm-hmm. They're like political jackass. And now everyone's falling for it. Thousands of people are part of this movement, including a couple of members of Congress. And this is the kind of thing that emerges from it. These people acting out. Certainly there are societal elements here that are contributing to our national nervous breakdown, this national freakout. But, you know, this is far beyond just reckless driving or acting up on an airplane. This is taking this 8chan bullshit and manifesting it into the real world as if it's actually a thing. You know, this is the inability of many, many Americans, maybe upward of 70 million Americans, unable to adequately digest information that they find on the internet and on cable news. So they're being fished into all of these scams. And that's what it is. And of course, it's exacerbated by their Pied Piper, Donald Trump, who takes everything that his people are into and then amplifies it and mainstreams and can't shut the fuck up about it. And that's it. He's back all over television again, talking about Afghanistan. I want to get both of you. Jody, what's your take at this point? I think I know, because I've listened to the Stephanie Miller show this week. I think I know what your take is, but I just wanted to hear it from you. Do you think this went exactly the way it was always going to go? Or was this some sort of fuck up by Joe Biden or whoever?
I think, okay, first off, getting out of a 20-year occupation, which is what it was.
Yeah.
Was never going to be easy. Mm-hmm. And when the Afghan government that was obviously going to cut and run, mm-hmm. as quickly as they could. In fact, I believe the president got away with $165 million in cash.
Yeah.
When he fled so high. He's in the UAE now, right? Yeah. So, I mean, he knew what was going to happen and he knew how it was going to go down. I think that our intelligence was not good, obviously,
yeah.
because they were lying to us. Because the Taliban said, hey, guys, drop your arms. You won't be killed.
Yes, of course. Yeah, yeah.
He did the right thing getting us out.
Yeah.
He said the right things when he talked about it, because, yeah, why would he hand it off to a fifth president?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's how I said this on Fuglesang's show last night, that the next president, whoever it might be, and let's say 2029, next president comes in, whether it's Kamala Harris or, you know, God forbid, some sort of fucking crazy Republican. The first thing they should do as soon as they sit down in the Oval Office is write Joe Biden a thank you letter. In fact,
The
next 20 presidents probably should.
No shit.
Because
this could have been a 300-year war like the fucking Crusades.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that was the choice here. That was the Sophie's choice in all of this with Afghanistan. Yeah. It was either we get out sooner rather than later, or mm-hmm. we're there forever. Those are the choice. Because if you feel as if we should have stayed, when is the end point? When is victory?
What's the goal?
Yeah, exactly. If you know for a fact that the Taliban is just going to sweep right back in, the Afghan security force is just going to melt away because they've cut side deals with the Taliban.
Right.
This was inevitable. This is the mm-hmm. theme of Tuesday's show. We talked about it yesterday with Spencer Ackerman, too. Got his take on all of this. He just wrote a new book called Reign of Terror. And this was going to happen no matter what. So why not get out now? Cut our losses now.
Sooner than later. And
especially in the midst of the ongoing, I mean, we have a national crisis in terms of COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the time to be pouring, and we've poured billions and trillions of dollars into that country, and it remains one of the poorest countries on the planet.
Mm-hmm. And
it tells you that a handful of people are scooping up every single dollar of resource money, and none of it's getting distributed.
Nope.
And it's the point that they've demonstrated that they are bad faith actors. We've done everything we can. There's nothing further to be accomplished.
And we should have learned from the 1890s, the 1830s, the 1980s. We should have learned from others who have tried to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it harks back to Tim Robbins in War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys, he literally, one of his lines, and I'm paraphrasing, is occupations never work.
That's right. And just look
because
at,
they don't.
Yeah. I mean, the example that you learn from Vietnam is not the example from Vietnam is not necessarily the fall of Saigon, which was by all means different than what happened in Kabul the other day. But the lesson from Vietnam is we weren't the first people to go in there and try to intervene in Vietnam. There was precedent for how that could happen and how that could fail catastrophically. And we went in there anyway. We're not wanted there, and we've never been wanted there.
It's like an adage, never get into a shooting war in Central Asia.
That's right. Never get into a land war in Asia. We learned that from The Princess Bride, for God's sake.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so here we are. And so no one wanted to be sitting in the Oval Office when this actually went down. And part of the reason is, and part of the thing that's driving me nuts, part of the reason why I was so angry over the weekend watching the coverage of Afghanistan was that the press was confirming with everywhere. And by the press, I mean specifically cable news, where they just love themselves a good war. And so cable news was so desperate to concern troll all of this. It's people like the cable news punditry. And obviously there are many exceptions, but you know the ones I'm talking about. It's the cable news punditry that makes it nearly impossible for politicians to make tough choices like this, honest choices like Joe Biden has made. Because, again, you don't want to be sitting there in the Oval. You don't want to be commander in chief when the cable news people start screaming about how you're going to own this disaster whenever it is we withdraw from Afghanistan. No one wanted to be in that position. And the cable news media just confirmed all of that by using that same old script. Oh, my God, what an unmitigated disaster. This could have gone so much better than it actually did. Oh, really? Could it have? Do we really know that that would have been the case? Donald Trump telegraphed this years in advance. The Taliban knew exactly. The Afghan security forces knew. The Afghan government knew what was going on in Afghanistan. They knew that we were going to be leaving. And so they prepared for it, and they cut their side deals, and they got ready, and they bided their time. The one that we read a thread on the show on Tuesday by someone who's been deployed to Afghanistan on many occasions, and she knew years and years and years ago that the way this went down was inevitable. It was going to happen. Because we are constantly underestimating, because of our, what is, David?
What? I'm not even doing anything. I'm just totally standing here.
Oh my God, well, because I'm hearing something.
Still?
No, not not anymore, but thank you. So, yeah.
I knew this was going to be a failure in 2002 or 2003.
Yeah, we all did.
When we saw them playing that hockey game with the dead goat body. Do you remember this? They were like, the Taliban's been put down and joyous, normal.
Oh, my God, no. I don't remember
that. And they were like playing this game with the decapitated body of a goat where they were riding on horseback back and forth trying to steal the goat from each other and get it back across the line. And I'm like, I'm so happy for them.
Yeah, well, you know what? The Taliban surrendered in 2001. And the takeaway from the Taliban is that we have underestimated them at every turn. They have the patience, more patience than any American, I think, can possibly comprehend. They were going to wait this out for generations if they needed to.
That's their country.
Yeah, exactly.
They know that we're spending money to be there, and they know eventually the money will run out. So. Yeah.
Well, and American propaganda gives us this impression that all of our enemies are just, you know, frothing morons who are just masturbating in the desert. You know, it's just like, no.
No, that's Ben Shapiro.
That's right. Thank you. I stand totally corrected. So the only way we achieve the goals that we set out to achieve by not leaving in 2002, the only way that would happen is if we indefinitely occupied Afghanistan. I mean, I'm talking about zero exit strategy, zero withdrawal ever. That is trillions of dollars a year. God knows how many more lives pumped into the meat grinder. But it's not even 100 years from now or 200 years from now. The only way you achieve a lasting democracy in Afghanistan is by remaining there as a bulwark against the Taliban while the government solidifies and people become accustomed to American occupation just by sheer rote, just by it happening constantly for generations.
Do you know the difference between Afghanistan and Vietnam?
What's what?
The former guy had a plan to get out of Vietnam.
There. Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. And that's the biggest joke of all. Is that somehow Donald Trump would have executed this better. He was all over Hannity. He was all over with Lando's co-pilot from Return of the Jedi, Maria Bartiromo. They were talking about this, about how, oh, it's the biggest disaster. It's the biggest disaster since Jimmy Carter. Oh, my God. This is a guy who could not protect the Capitol building from his own people who invaded and occupied it. He was so inept that he couldn't call in the D.C. National Guard to shove them out of the Capitol building. And it happened right down the fucking street. And so now we're to believe that Donald Trump would have driven the Taliban out of Kabul when everything went down inevitably the way it was going to and the way it did. No fucking way. But now they're rewriting all of that history. Talking about, well, you know, of course, we need to show strength in the face of the enemy. And which is the biggest lie in the world. You talk about American propaganda, this, oh, we have to show strength and resolve in the face of the enemy. Yeah, but at what point does 20 years start to look like intense weakness? Mm-hmm. I mean, 20 years and we couldn't do it. What kind of strength is that? So to me, we need to redefine the terms of what strength actually means. And to me, watching Joe Biden's remarks the other day on television, that was strength. The balls
Nicole
to stand.
Wallace said after the speech, she said 99% of the American public is going to agree with the speech.
Of course.
And 99% of the DC media is going to attack him for it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's one of the reasons why George W. Bush, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, they all refused to do it. Trump talked about it, but Trump talks about a lot of shit that he doesn't do.
Right.
Because he didn't want to be sitting there when the DC media went, oh, fuck you. Oh, my. What a disaster. Oh, the American people are going to punish you for this now. Without realizing the ramifications of that. Plus, there are very distinct ramifications for democracy in talking like that. Because at this point, what we see is now a peaceful evacuation going on.
And the press isn't showing that.
Right. No, they're not. Because they're stuck to their script. Mm-hmm. They would rather have it. Oh my God, you are doomed, Joe Biden. And what does that do? What does that kind of, we're just going to tear this off the script and just read this over and over again. What does that actually do to American democracy when we have an existential threat waiting to return to the White House permanently? And I'm talking about Trump and I'm talking about his entire Red Hat Republican Party. If they are back in office, they are not going to leave office ever. And that means Congress. That means the White House. If they take back Congress in 22, they're never going to leave Congress. The state governments aren't going to allow it to happen. If Donald Trump goes back to the White House, he's never going to fucking leave until he's dead. And undermining Joe Biden in this knee-jerk way, without realizing, without even taking into consideration the stakes of the new era that we're in right now, is immensely irresponsible. Because what you're doing is you're manifesting that outcome. Okay, yes, congratulations. You've officially spanked Joe Biden for something that was going to happen irrespective of who was going to do it. And what do you achieve out of that? Oh, by the way, sorry, fascist idiocracy. Sorry, America. We were just out here for ratings. That drives me up a fucking wall. And you know, when you lose Buzz Burbank on the press, you have really fucked up. Because Buzz is right there with me on this front. Certainly right there with guys like Eric Bollert and all the rest of the people who are covering what is, to me, the same kind of shitty coverage that got us into Afghanistan in the first place.
Right.
You all know how I feel about Michael Moore now, today. Go back and look at Fahrenheit 9/11. And watch the montages of all of these members of the media just rah-rah cheering on. Launching this war. And what they fail to realize then is that there are consequences to the things you say on television. And we're seeing the consequences now. 20 years later, we're seeing the consequence. The very nature of the fact that this has been 20 years is a consequence of that, irresponsible coverage.
Shock and awe.
Yeah.
Barbara Lee was the only smart one there.
Well, look, I mean, I think what we initially did in Afghanistan as far as going after the bad guys who may have been responsible, may have financed 9/11 in some way. You know, you go in there, you do that. We were all stinging from 9/11. We were all hurt and traumatized by that. And to go after the bad guys felt pretty good initially. And then the Taliban.
Yeah, the country was behind that initial invasion into Afghanistan to get Osama bin Laden. But then they dropped the fucking ball and went to fucking Iraq.
Right. Well, and at the same time, engaging in nation building in Afghanistan. You know, that was the big mistake. Sticking around after the Taliban sued for peace. Early, early on. I think it was still 2001. I'm murky on the timeline when that occurred.
These were all decisions made by people like John McCain, Dick Cheney. Donald Rumsfeld,
Paul Wolfowitz,
kickbacks from defense contractors. I mean, it's a lucrative business for us to go to war for those guys.
Well, plus it's a winning political strategy. Everyone loves the tough guy with waving the flag and singing the Lee Greenwood anthems. We love that shit. I made an independent movie back in 2001, 2002 about that exact phenomenon. and that knee-jerk patriotism that arises out of that. And certainly 9/11 had a lot to do with that particular attitude at the time. We all remember. I mean, it was a big business to sell American flags, the ones that you stick on your the window caddy American flags that you would stick on your car window and so on. All
Freedom
that
fries
shit.
And yeah. All that. Freedom Ryan fries, Adams. Yeah. We made terrible mistakes in the Patriot Act and Ryan Adams.
Yeah.
Are things I totally
fuck
feel.
Ryan Adams. Was that out loud?
What we just what we need to do as Americans is realize that a war is not folly. A war is not a TV show where we watch the, you know, infrared footage of the bombs dropping down chimneys and so on. It's not fun. It's not supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be something that we watch like a reality show. That's not what it is. It's deadly. It's ugly. Everything that you were seeing on television of this past weekend, this is Lawrence O'Donnell said it point blank. That's war. What we're watching is the vision of war. And I think to an extent we all need to see that shit and absorb it. Even those of us who are stridently anti-war, we need to see the consequences of our actions overseas, our adventurism in foreign countries, when it goes, especially when it goes horribly awry, and knowing that it can go horribly awry.
I was protesting before. I mean, I was against the next. I mean, you know, I was out there marching against the Iraq war before it was even. Yeah. I mean, I was definitely like, and people were just calling you like unpatriotic. I mean, a group of us peace protesters got attacked on campus at UGA. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yay, brawl for peace, you know, but I mean, it was really ugly. Yeah. People were like, if you don't support this war, you don't support the troops. And I mean, it's a hack thing to say now, but like in those days, it was deadly fucking serious.
Yeah.
And people were, it was gross. And it was the media just completely dropped the ball on critical thinking. And because it was like super exciting that we were going to invade this other country.
Oh, yeah. The Iraq portion of all of that was far worse than the lead up to Afghanistan. I mean, the lead up to Iraq throughout 2002 and 2003 was just an ongoing slow motion nightmare, because we all knew that to an extent we had to go into Afghanistan, at least temporarily. Yeah. But with Iraq, people who probably would have otherwise cheered it on were going, hey, well, hang on a second. wait. I mean, the way the Republican Party handled that war and exploited the lead up to it certainly won them Congress back in 2002. They went after people like Max Cleland, who was a wounded war veteran. Yeah, lost three limbs in Vietnam, and they made him out to seem as if he was like Saddam Hussein's right-hand man, that he was having lunch with bin Laden and shit.
It's like, war is never a fucking video game. It's not just meaningless numbers on a screen. Those are people's lives, usually women and children. Women and children are the people who suffer the worst in battle zones.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, for fuck's sake. The people who are, you know, saying that Biden's a wimp or whatever for pulling out of Afghanistan, it's like he's doing what is most difficult.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, sending your kid to rehab or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a terrible, awful thing that you don't want to have to do. You know that there will be, you know, people hurt on all sides.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and he's a father of a soldier.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was Bo in the army? Is that what he was in?
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because I have learned that there's airmen, marines, soldiers, and sailors.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you can't call a marine a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't. So I'm not sure what branch of armed services he was in, but he went to war.
Yeah. Well, that was it was super gutsy of the president to make this decision. And that, I think, that needs to be the word that goes out. That needs to be how we define American strength and resolve, to be able to look into a camera and say, this was a mistake. It ends now. That's brave. That's boldness. Mm-hmm. And if Trump had still been president and everything had gone fine and pulled out, we probably would have had no choice but to go, this is the way it had to happen. We probably would have been saying more or less the same thing. But obviously that's fan fiction, because, as I said, had Donald Trump been managing all of this, it would have been far worse. It would have been the same, if not far, far worse. Again, we know everything Donald Trump touches turns to shit. And this would, of course, turn to shit, too. But Donald Trump campaigned on this.
He did.
Endlessly talked about, to uproarious applause from his red hats, that this was something he was going to do. So, okay. Well, we've got more information here coming in from the Capitol bomb threat suspect. So we'll talk about that here in just a second. But have you ever looked in the mirror and go...
I think exactly. I'll blow up the Capitol.
Yeah. Oh my God. So yes, have you ever looked in the mirror and wished your under eye bags would just go away? If this sounds like you every morning, you're not alone. Bags and puffiness under the eyes are a problem for millions of American men and women until now. Introducing the new GenuCell serum with plant stem cell technology from Chamonix. Susan from New Jersey wrote, quote, I've been using GenuCell for a couple of months. The puffiness around my eyes is gone. Even crow's feet and small lines have disappeared and haven't come back. I love your product. I use it under my eyes, around my cheekbones, and on my eyelids, unquote. And with its instant effects, you're going to see results in the first 12 hours or your money back. Order now and get 50% off all GenuCell packages for the summer. Go to lovegenucell.com/Stephanie. Link in the description at bobsesca.com. lovegenucell.com/Stephanie. lovegenucell.com/Stephanie. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show. Summer music. Pow, pow, power.
Rehab right here, a song called Amphetamine, going out to Ben Shapiro, who apparently is interrupting our Patreon promotion at the top of the show this week, so thought I'd work this into one of our Songs of the Summer for the month of August, culminating in the big Songs of the Summer Indie Music Countdown, Labor Day weekend, and somehow I'm going to be able to record that Indie Music Countdown before the weekend begins, so you have it. So you have them, along with all of your shoes and your glasses, to listen to all weekend long, your barbecue or whatever the hell you're doing. Oh no, what's that? Okay. All right, we're going to turn that off now. I'm pressing my luck with a soundboard here today. Okay, yeah, prehab.
The remix.
Prehab.bandcamp.com. Absolutely right. Yeah, for some reason, my soundboard just decided to act up this week. No matter what I do, it just does its shit. Yeah, yeah. Okay, getting back into things here. You okay there, David?
Oh, fine. This is becoming an ongoing thing. I was standing there and lost my balance, just standing up. You know?
Is like one of the legs of the dresser shorter than the other legs?
Yeah, but it's been that way for like 18 years. Just
okay,
for some reason today, it's just like...
Do you have some sugar packets somewhere? You
can just completely... You know, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to like prop my tiny forelimbs against the wall. So if I'm about to be frisked.
Josh Marshall here reports on this Capitol bomb threat suspect. It's in a video from early Tuesday morning. Capitol bomb suspect says he and those like him are the, quote, last generation. Says Trump will become president after Biden steps down and Democrats are imprisoned. Says Trump will pardon everyone. He hopes for pardon himself.
I have some breaking news. Ricky DeValia on Twitter is reporting that he has surrendered to police.
Oh, good. All right. Well, that's...
So hopefully his reporting is accurate. I don't know, but...
Well, I hope they at least taser him or something. I mean, maybe
seriously.
Know. Jesus. A white guy threatens to bomb three city blocks with ammonium nitrate, and they're probably like, oh, step this way, sir.
He's got
mental
issues.
Can we get you some
issues?
Arby's?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you we know? Get you some Arby's? And then he has mental problems. He's not a terrorist.
Yeah. Meanwhile, every black person watching in is going, fuck you! Yeah.
Exactly.
God damn it. God damn it, we're fucked up in this country. We are just seriously fucked up in the United States. I just wanted to say that. I know it's pretty obvious, and I'm not breaking any news here, but yeah, the United States is really fucked up right now. Okay, so Nikki Haley is a soulless Trump disciple. We all know this, but here's a good example. Oh, my God. So she tweets the other day. This is about 23 hours ago. To have our generals say that they are depending on diplomacy with the Taliban is an unbelievable scenario. negotiating with the Taliban is like dealing with the devil. Nikki Haley doesn't read her shit before it gets sent out very clearly, because she is a disciple, a former administration official with the Trump administration.
Wasn't it Pompeo that brokered the peace, the deal?
Yes! Yes! Pompeo and Donald Trump gave away the store, released 5,000 Taliban militants from prison. 5,000 of them. Yep. So if you see any Trump supporters tweeting in the next coming days, oh my God, some Taliban are doing some crazy shit and killing this person or that person, remember that that Taliban member could have been released from prison by Donald Trump. Just bear that in mind. 5,000 of them, including the co-founder of the Taliban, who's now the would-be de facto president of Afghanistan, Mullah Baradar. Or as Trump said on Hannity the other day, Mullah Baradar, with his ridiculous, you know, sarcastic pronunciation of foreign names. Such a fucking a-hole. So anyway, so Nikki Haley is bitching about here, negotiating with the Taliban. Here's Nikki Haley on January 18th, 2018, while she was still UN ambassador. We are seeing that we're closer to talks with the Taliban and the peace process than we've seen before. They're operating under the assumption that their people don't give a shit about things that have been said in the past or don't know.
Well, they don't, do they? I mean, they have a memory span of about 16 minutes. So.
Yes, they do. Yes,
just
they
like
do.
Point them at whatever you want them to be mad at, and they'll be mad on command.
Yeah. The core values of the Republican Party right now are non-existent. In fact, there is one core value. Whatever cruelty. It is that we need to say at the moment. That is their core value. Whatever we need to say that is the opposite of what they're saying. It's like a grade school recess. Uh-huh. Oh, you want to hear some good news? This is a little bit of good news here to break up the horrible, horrible cavalcade of bad news. U.S. jobless claims dropped to 348,000, a pandemic low, evidence of strength for our rebounding economy and job market. Well, you listened to Donald Trump on Hannity the other day. It's a disaster. Donald Trump Jr. said on Laura Ingraham last night, "The world is burning," he said. The world is burning. Yep. Only 348,000 new jobless claims.
That's just your nostrils, buddy.
Yes. Well, burning, that's he might be smelling the same thing Kimberly's smelling, you know, between cocaine and the burning.
Or I'm sorry. Bite your tongue.
Cocaine.
Bite your tongue to say that Kimberly would have anything in common with Coke Drip Jr. over
yes,
there.
Yes, what's wrong with me? Shit. I'll just cut that out of the show. Okay. Meanwhile, Trump's Save America PAC grift is continuing. I was mentioning how Trump was on Hannity the other day. This is regular Trump, so if you've made a personal choice to avoid Trump, skip ahead by about 2 minutes. You can do that. There's
two
a little
minutes.
Advance ahead. No, it's not 2 minutes long, but I'm saying that maybe it'll take longer for us to discuss it and break in or whatever. I'm just looking at so it's a 44-second clip. Jump ahead, hit the 15-second ahead button by 4 times. Okay, that should get you past it. So here we go. This is Trump talking about running again in 2024. Now listen to what he says here. This is an important bit of audio, otherwise I wouldn't play it.
Are you considering a run again in 2024? I'll let you answer it any way you want, but I'll go back to our original question. Now that we have all these Americans behind enemy lines, do you have, in the 45 seconds we have left, What would you do now to help with that specific situation?
Okay, so now he's being asked about whether he's going to run again in 2024. This is his answer.
The campaign finance laws are extremely complicated and unbelievably stupid. I'm actually not allowed to answer that question. Can you believe it? I'd love to answer it. But let me put it this way. I think you'll be happy, and I think a lot of our friends will be very happy. But I'm not actually allowed to answer it. It makes it very difficult if I do. So people, you're going to be happy because I love this country and I hate to see what's happening.
Would you be willing?
No. It's opposite. He hates this country and loves to see what's happening right now because it gives him a platform. Here's the thing with what he was just saying. You know, he said, I can't talk about that. I'm not allowed to talk about that right now because of our stupid, stupid campaign finance laws. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about Save America PAC. That's his gigantic, colossal grift. It's a super PAC that he has formed to allegedly raise money for legal defense and so on for his attempt to steal back the election. So the Save America PAC is just basically a giant slush fund for his personal usage. And he is using it for his personal whatever he needs. Airline travel, etc. And very little of it, if any, is going toward the stopping the steal nonsense. And the reason he can't talk about whether he's going to run in 2024 is because if he says he is running in 2024, then he has to separate himself right from the Save America PAC.
Yep.
Legally, he cannot get any money or information from the Save America PAC once he declares that he's running in 2024. That's why he said, I can't do it, because of the stupid campaign finance laws. One, he just verified right there. And of course, none of his red hats or any viewer of the Hannity show will understand this. But that, you know, he's basically confessing that this is all a big scam. I'm just taking, give me your money so I can buy more paintings of myself and so I can fly around the country and do these stupid fucking rallies and travel around with Bill O'Reilly and do rallies with him. And it's all paid for. I don't have to go into my own pocket to do it. Mm-hmm. Which basically, with Donald Trump, going into his own pocket means either racking up more debt or crawling to Vladimir Putin for money.
Well, and remember, it's Save America PAC, SAP.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? The more I think about it, the more I think that was deliberate.
Of course it was.
Almost like all of the deliberate misspellings. Someone is either fucking with Trump or fucking with his supporters, just having a good time by just screwing around, playing grab ass with all of these official presidential statements and whatever. Save him, SAP. Jesus. So, you know what? We almost forgot to talk about how Greg Abbott tested positive for COVID and irony. That's the thing. Once these guys, you know, there's like a headline format now that we're seeing. Such and such who doubted the use of masks and vaccines dies of COVID. That's kind of the headline template that we're seeing a lot of right now. And the thing is, they're not just dying of COVID, they're dying from irony, or they're coming down with a case of COVID while they're also getting a case of irony. And with Greg Abbott, that's absolutely the situation. Greg Abbott, who's making sure that thousands of children are going to be suffocating to death within the next couple of months, is now testing positive for COVID. They're giving him the Regeneron monoclonal antibodies because he is a paraplegic, and so he's got, you know, a potential
multiple
comorbidity.
Risk factors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. So he is getting treatment. He says he's not symptomatic, and that he has been vaccinated. How about that piece of information? Just slipped
three times. He already had his booster.
Oh, that's what? Right. He had a third. He had a booster, for fuck's sake.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to get my booster until January.
Yeah, I went and asked about
mine
it
is December.
And they
December.
Were like, nope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not today.
Right. Yeah. The Biden administration is moving forward with the booster thing, but you have to wait 8 months after your second. If you had the two, the Moderna or the Pfizer, 8 months after your second one. And
you have to stay with that manufacturer as well.
Yeah. So what are Johnson & Johnson people going to do, Jody?
I think they're studying that because it's completely different technology.
Yeah.
It's more like a flu shot.
Mm-hmm.
So most likely what they're doing is they're taking the Delta variant and figuring out how to vaccinate against that specific variant like we do with flu variants. Mm-hmm. That's my general thought, because mRNAs are different. It's a completely different technology. Chris Lavoie knows some people that have jumped line to get boosters, basically just walking into a pharmacy and just saying, hey, I never had my shot. Can I have it?
Well,
which is I understand it, but no.
Yeah, I would be a little concerned about that. You know, I'm waiting for the doctors to determine when I should get the second shot, because we start, you know, that gets into the realm of bro science. And you're like, okay, right now, give it to me now.
My mom did get her booster because of her age.
Oh, good. That's good. But here, as Greg Abbott recovers from COVID and irony, a Texas school district made face masks part of its dress code in order to get around Governor Abbott's anti-mask mandate order. Several school districts in
Didn't
Texas.
Didn't you just suggest that last week? Which one of you suggested that? I know one of you
might have.
Yeah, I know I didn't.
It must Jody, have been it was me you. Then.
Yeah, Jody.
So remember we had that segued into our conversation about Catholic school and uniforms.
And then you wearing shorts when you went to school.
Oh, my God. You know what? I wonder if someone in Texas school district is listening to the show. You know, that's a distinct possibility. Someone may have heard, Jody, you saying it on the show, and then decide, hey, you know what? That's a good idea. Let's listen to Jody on the show because she's no longer doing cocaine.
I stopped with the cocaine.
Several school districts in Texas have sought to require masks amid an increase in COVID-19 cases. Governor Greg Abbott has tried to ban mask mandates, of course. Here's the format once again. A South Carolina Republican county chairman has died of COVID after ranting against masks. This is a Republican official from Greenville County. Presley Stutz.
Right across the line from here.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry he died, but he's got a funny name, and I wish my name were Presley Stutz.
So I just think about all the people who listened to him.
Yeah. I know. That's just the thing. It's viral. The irony is viral. The comeuppance is viral. The stupidity is viral. Just as viral as the virus. Maybe even more viral than the virus. That's, once again, another dimension to all of this. Because all it takes is one person with an authoritative way of communicating on Facebook or Twitter or wherever. And then that goes viral. And then people believe it. And they're like, yeah, that makes sense to me. Ah, shit. So Trumpism is now running rampant in Arizona. Now, we know one of Trump's favorite things to do is to punish people who are mean to him. We saw this with Trump withholding aid to places like Puerto Rico after officials in Puerto Rico were mean to Donald Trump. Oh, my God. Chez predicted this years and years and years ago during the 2016 campaign. Chez sat right here on this show and went, you know what? Donald Trump's going to withhold FEMA support from California or whichever state is devastated by a hurricane or something like that and happened to vote against him. And of course, this is exactly what's happened. Governor Doug Ducey in Arizona has announced that schools that require masks will be ineligible for $163 million in funds allocated from Biden's American Rescue Plan.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That's some bullshit right there.
What's the point?
Yeah.
I mean, just who cares? Let the kids wear masks. And it's just, we are actively preventing you from protecting your health.
Yeah.
And that's what it's just absolutely insane about the whole thing that makes me just want to go bash my head into the wall again and again and again.
Yeah.
Is that and the kids don't care. Kids find it like, yay, I have this cool mask on and I'm a superhero. I mean,
exactly.
They're right. You know,
I'm kind of doing it half the time myself. Like,
yeah.
It's like wearing a little costume. It's like cosplay.
Exactly. Like kids love it. They aren't having the issues with it. It's their stupid fucking asshole parents.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the fact that it's a way to fool facial recognition software.
I like that, too.
Yeah,
I'm never not wearing a mask from now on. I'm just going to...
hood, and you're invisible.
Yep. Here's a weird thing that... actually, you know what? We're going to take a short break here, but remind me to talk about a weird thing that Planet Fitness did about COVID here in just a second. But first, who doesn't love hanging out in loungewear, like sweatpants and shit like this? Hideously ugly sweatpants. Even, you know what? Your pets are laughing at you as you're wearing your crappy sweatpants. Well, that's a thing of the past, though, with Cozy Earth. The people known for creating luxuriously soft, cool sheets made of bamboo somehow have done it again. They've taken loungewear to another level with their comfy, super soft selections and gorgeous styles and colors. From wonderful pajama sets, leggings, and tees, every item is sourced from earth-friendly viscose from, there it is again, bamboo, somehow for enhanced breathability and temperature regulation. You'll find something you can't lounge without at Cozy Earth. See why Oprah described Cozy Earth's pajamas as the softest ever in O Magazine. Best of all, go to CozyEarth.com now, enter the promo code Stephanie35 and save 35% on their loungewear and bedding. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code Stephanie35. CozyEarth.com. Thank you.
Bob Seska.
Everybody come on, let's get down.
My friend Freak Bass right here with a One of his biggest singles of the summer. This is a song called Get Down.
Really good. I had no idea you could skate this well, Bob. You look great on those. Such a natural.
What are you talking about?
Oh, roller skating.
Oh, you think, okay, so this is like almost like a song you'd listen to at a roller rink.
This is total roller skating music. Oh my God, what barn were you raised in, young man? This is absolutely 100% roller skating music.
Listen, it's got an awesome video to it, too. If you haven't bought the entire Freakbase catalog, you're missing out on the best goddamn funk available to you now. And he's a hell of a nice guy and a great bass player, too. So there's that, too. Freakbase.com. That's with two E's. F-R-E-E-K-B-A-S-S. Okay. Let's see here. Oh, yeah. You know what? Planet
Back
Fitness.
Back me up, Jody. Is that not roller skating music? I mean,
it was. I used to go to roller rinks. I know.
Yeah, so did I. But it was all things like the Hooters at
REO
the time.
Speedway. And, yeah.
Well, mine was in the 70s, but still.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's a weird thing that happened this afternoon regarding COVID. So, you know, the fitness chain Planet Fitness, they have a whole chain of gyms around the country. Well, they announced on Twitter that they wouldn't be requiring masks or vaccines. And then the tweet got deleted somehow. This is the strangest goddamn thing. And of course, it pissed me off because while I'm not a member at a Planet Fitness, I go to a different gym franchise. The reason I haven't gone back to the gym is because my fucking gym does not require masks. And so I'm sure as shit not going to go to a place where you pay a fee to breathe heavily and expel fluids from your body.
It's ridiculous.
Without any sort of mask mandate. And of course, the trolls all appear. And say, well, why don't you just wear a mask and go in there? Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, I could do that. But it's safer if everyone's wearing a mask, especially in a place where, as I said, people are breathing heavily. And that's
from
the whole point of being
lungs.
There. Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
That's the whole thing. That's like why choir practices are super spreader events, because you're breathing from the deepest part of your lung and then breathing deeply in again.
Yep, exactly.
So it's just, it's COVID soup in there.
You know, that's one of the things that's pissing me off more than anything else, is because I can't do the things I want despite the fact that I've been responsible. And I think we're all experiencing that on some level
totally.
With different things. Yeah, yeah. And to know that these people with their irresponsibility, their defiant irresponsibility, they're proud of their irresponsibility, are keeping us from, and it's, going to the gym, it seems like a frivolous thing, but it's important from a stress relief point of view. It's important from a physical health point of view. It's my health. This is how not only do I relieve stress this way, but this is how I stay as healthy as I can for a person in his 50s. So, fuck you for being irresponsible and not doing the right thing. And you know what? To an extent, that goes for my gym as well. What does it take to just say, wear a mask? I assure you, if you had a mask mandate in place in the gym, there would be more people going back to the gym, like me, who literally lives like a 4-minute walk from the gym. But I'm not going back. I thought about it.
I wouldn't dare.
Yeah, before Delta was a thing, Kimberly and I talked about it, and I was going to go back to the gym in August, kind of set that start date. I was going to say, well, I'm going to wait a little longer, see how things go, and I'm glad I did because now Delta. So I wanted to wait until August, and I went past there because it's also next to our grocery store. I walked past there, and I noticed, we're no longer requiring masks, is a sign on the door. Like, oh, fuck God. God damn it. God damn it.
God damn it.
Yeah. It's so, it fills me with rage, as you can hear, as I giggle. But I am. I'm pissed off about this. We should all be pissed off about this. We're being held hostage by horrible, irresponsible people. Anyway, so speaking of horrible, irresponsible people, let's talk about Ted Cruz here for a second. As we wrap up the show, just I wanted to mention this
Mr.
real quick.
Mr. Invisible Layer of Slime.
Exactly right. Well, we've covered this on several occasions in the past, especially recently, this notion of the Republicans bulk buying their own books. Mm-hmm. This is a big scam. It's been going on. I'm sure, David, you remember from Blogosphere 1.0, the whole notion of Republicans publishing these books and then artificially boosting their sales figures by bulk buying them. whether it's their financiers or they themselves through their campaigns.
Conservative Book of the Month Club.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, how the fuck does Michelle Malkin end up on the New York Times bestseller list? Oh, I get it. Someone's buying thousands of copies of her book. Well, I noticed here, according to Forbes, Ted Cruz made $320,000 as an author last year, but if his campaign bought $153,000 worth of his books, his campaign. So look, I accept to a certain extent the idea that you want to maybe give out your books as a incentive for people to give money to your campaign. But at what point is it just like a human centipede of grift? That's exactly what
about
this
2003
is.
Is when it became a human centipede of grift.
I mean, yeah.
Do you remember the huge battle over Red State's mailing list that somebody had leaked or something, and they were all like snapping at each other like piranha,
yep,
trying to get hold of it? I mean, it was ridiculous. It's all a big pyramid scheme, email donor scam, and. Mm-hmm.
The Democrats should probably start doing this at some point. I mean, wouldn't it be great if suddenly Spencer Ackerman's book was bulk purchased and Spencer Ackerman sits at the top of the Amazon list or the New York Times bestseller list? That'd be awesome. Or better yet, Mary Trump has got a new book out called The Reckoning.
Yes, she does. Yay.
And in fact, I am talking to Mary Trump on the interview show about her book on September 1st, Wednesday, September 1st.
Yay.
She's returning to the show. Yes, I'm looking forward to talking with Mary Trump again. And I think a copy of her book is on the way here. So I haven't read it yet, but I'm looking forward to checking it out as soon as it arrives. And wouldn't it be great if Democratic financiers, you know, those big George Soros checks have to spend themselves somehow. Why not use those checks to buy a bunch of books and make sure that liberal voices have a place on the bestseller lists and so on? I assure you.
Wasn't the New York Times annotating at some point? Weren't they like saying that like what they would have like a symbol next to the book title on the bestseller list, indicating that it was the result of bulk buys?
Well, I think that's been a suggestion for a while, hasn't it? Like they have to kind of make sure that the public knows that the reason it's on this list is because they artificially inflated their stats.
Remember when record companies did that to like Vanilla Ice, that his record company bought back all of his records
so
that he would go up on the charts?
Right. God damn it. Well, you know, it's happening all over the place. It's not just with the books. I've talked about this at length on the after party at BobSeskaShow.com. Yes, indeed. We've talked about how the Red Hat podcasters are probably buying their downloads. The Red Hat influencers on Instagram and elsewhere probably buying their followers. This is an actual thing where influencers are buying their followings on social media, and that includes podcasters. It's hard to know what's real and what's not real. But when I see, you know, the top 50 slots on Apple Podcasts occupied by mostly right-wing. In fact, it's the news commentary vertical on Apple Podcasts. I want to say 17 of the top 20 are Red Hat podcasts. And the other three are like The New Yorker and stuff like that. So it's like, how does that happen? Are suddenly Republicans big fans of podcasting? I don't know if that's the case. It seems like for an audience that is much, much older than a Democratic or liberal audience. It seems like
they listen to so many podcasts when they're always listening to AM radio.
Yeah, right. Exactly fucking right. They're listening to AM talk radio. They're watching Fox News Channel. They're not downloading the Ben Shapiro podcast or the Alex Jones podcast for that matter. Sorry, I had to throw that in. By the way,
so before too much of the show goes by, there's something I want to bring up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We're
somewhere
almost
out in Martha's Vineyard, and you guys can Google this. I don't have it in front of me, but Larry David and Alan Dershowitz
so nice.
Almost came to blows on the front porch of some like little quaint, like, you know, county store thing. Like Dershowitz like ended up taking off his shirt or something. I mean, it's just like a nut show. But you know, I'm not a big Larry David fan. I find that particular brand of comedy to be kind of, but
I wonder.
Yeah, you gotta thank him for just going up and being like, yeah. "You're disgusting. You shouldn't show your face in public." You know, like
pretty good impression, yeah. By the way. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Anytime.
When I saw this, I thought, "Is he doing a scene for his show?" Because I think he's working on another season of Curb Your Enthusiasm for HBO. I think that's either underway or it's about to premiere. And so I thought initially, okay.
Don't they warn people?
No, because they're going to. I mean, it's Curb Your Enthusiasm is kind of documentary style. And so right. I think they may do some guerrilla filmmaking in the process. But I don't know. I mean, they would have to get Dershowitz's permission.
That's wishful thinking on your part. I think that's.
Because I want to see it. I think that's why I'm wishfully thinking about it, because I want to see the confrontation. I actually want to see Dershowitz shit his pants. Because you know what? Of all the people in comedy, there are a few people I never want to piss off in comedy. Toward the top of the list, certainly Jen Kirkman's on that list. I never want to piss off Jen Kirkman.
Yeah, no.
Because she is fucking juggernaut. And I'm saying this with the utmost complimentary tone of voice. And Larry David. I don't want to piss off Larry David. It's just because he seems like he would destroy your will to live in about 5 seconds.
His scorn would be just like, it would tear the paint off the walls, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah.
It would like blister the exterior of a car. Like.
Well, as we wrap up here, I wanted to preview the post-mortem show on our Patreon page, because a couple of things are going to happen on the post-mortem show today that I got planned. A bunch of justice is coming for several villains along the way. Justice is coming for the NRA. Justice is coming for a friend of Jared Kushner. Justice is coming for Louis DeJoy. Justice is coming for Lauren Boebert. Lots of fun justice is coming for a-holes stories coming up the post-mortem show. Plus, we have a very special performance by Carrie Hamilton. Jodie's
You're really
going
to do this to me.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, no, I mean, it's a great performance from the show Fame. Fame from the 1980s, where Carrie Hamilton was a performer. And Jodie, you shared this on Facebook this past week, and I went and watched it. And of course, it got me all choked up, too. So I was like, oh, my God, I have got to play this on the show this week. It's a beautiful song and, of course, beautiful, beautiful performance. And so that's coming up on the post-mortem show, BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow, or click the Patreon link below the logo, beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. Lots of ways to get to our Patreon page. Most of you know them already, so get going. Go. Run, don't walk. Get over there. I don't mind running. You can run.
Get your face up in there.
Get your face up in there. Absolutely. Go motorboat our Patreon page, please.
Oh, gosh.
wait, did I just make you cringe or get the vapors, David?
You just sort of dialed up the cringe for just a split second. But that's okay. I'm all kind of always cringing when you're talking.
Okay.
No offense.
as an 8.0 Richter scale earthquake shakes David's house, we're going to proceed now to the post-mortem show. Again, on our Patreon page. See you over there, folks. Take it easy.
Have a good weekend. Bye, everybody.
Have a great weekend. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.